I invite you to rise as you're able as we sing our sermon hymn number 462, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Let's pray. Lord God, as we take a deeper look at the lesson this morning here from Luke chapter 10, Lord, I pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be upon the words that come forth from my mouth. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be attentive to the ears of those that are listening, that we might be strengthened for your glory. In Christ we pray. Amen. In last Sunday's sermon, when we looked at Luke chapter 11, the Bible stated in verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Not a whole lot of detail right there. Jesus was praying in a certain place. It was one day. It was an ordinary day. It was a normal day. Jesus was praying. And Jesus would then be teaching. Yes, Jesus performed many miraculous miracles. He healed many people. He taught tremendous sermons. But he also just had normal, ordinary days where he prayed and where he taught. This morning, as we consider the reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, the Bible states in verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way. They were on their way once again. It was normal activity for Jesus and the disciples to be on their way, to travel from one village to another village, to travel from one home to a next home, because Jesus and the disciples, they traveled from place to place. And it's an ordinary, normal day. Meeting people, teaching people, proclaiming the word of the Lord. And they came to a village, Bethany. Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and it's a village where Mary and Martha lived. And as they were nearing, Martha opened up her home to Jesus. Now, not just to Jesus, but also to his 12 disciples and maybe some others. She welcomed them into her home. Now, when you look at these verses, Luke doesn't tell us if Martha was expecting a visit from Jesus, but she might have heard, she might have known about Jesus and seen him coming, and she wants to be hospitable to him and the disciples. She offers him hospitality. We don't know much from Luke, but if we turn to the Gospel of John, in John chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 inform us, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair." In John 11, 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. One chapter later, in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclined at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Jesus has relationship with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Lazarus is not mentioned here in Luke chapter 10, but he's mentioned in John. But we can understand that there is a friendship that has been built up between Jesus and these two sisters and their brother. Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, is one of those passages that always cause me to wonder. It's familiar. Learned it when I was in Sunday school, studied it a few times over the years. I wonder just how many times some of you have read this passage. I wonder how many times you've heard a pastor preach or teach on this passage. If you've been around the church for a while, you've probably heard this more than a few times. And you might think, I don't really have to listen today. I can take it easy. I know this. But hopefully, if you've not heard this too many times, you have some eagerness, and that eagerness needs to flow over to your neighbor who might want to take a nap right now. Is there anything that we can learn? I heard yes. Somebody just said yes. Did you hear that? Or was that just my imagination? I think I heard a yes. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of people." The living word, even though we've read it 100 times, we read it again, and if the power of the Spirit is with us, we will learn something new. So let's read and consider this passage with intentional focus. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted. I want you to focus in on that word, distracted. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Not only was Martha distracted, she was also frustrated because she was left to do the work by herself. Now, we have to know that it's not because Mary was lazy that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. This is from the NIV. In the New King James Version, Luke 10:39 says, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Also, she had helped with some of the preparations, but she also took time to sit at the feet. She was living in balance. That little word "also" in the New King James Version, Mary had helped Martha, but she also took time to sit at the feet of Jesus. But Martha was distracted. She didn't do anything wrong in making the preparations for Jesus. She was intent on doing good. It was her nature. But she got distracted and took her eyes off Jesus and wasn't just worried about herself. She was worried about the unfairness of her sister. Why wasn't her sister helping? Have you ever had that thought? Have you ever been working? Have you ever been serving? And you've been doing more of the load in your mind than the others? You know, that's why school teachers have group projects. And so that you have to work together as a group. And that's where you first learn, maybe, that not everybody in the group offers the same level of energy to that group project. They still gave me a group project to do when I was in seminary. 12 students, 12 seminarians looking to become pastors. Surely this would be different. Guess what? In that group project, there was one in my group of four that didn't want to pull their weight. And I think the professor of the class knew that that was going to happen. And we had to let that person just do what they wanted to do. And the other three of us concentrated on doing the work. And we remained frustrated for the first time in my group life projects. We can't always focus on the other. We have to focus on ourselves and keep us in balance. Martha was distracted. She was distracted from keeping her eyes on Jesus. And that frustration was there. And what does the Lord say to her? "Martha, Martha." It's a term of endearment when you repeat the name in a nice way. When you repeat the name, it's a term of endearment. It's an expression of Jesus' care for Martha. Because she hasn't done anything wrong, she was there to help. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." Has that happened to you? Do you get worried and upset about many things? How do you get rid of that worry? How do you not grow upset? Do it over and over and over. Get used to those situations. We're going through a stretch of community meals right now where St. John's is going to take an active role a little bit more than the last couple of months. So this Tuesday, I'm kind of in charge of the meal. Now, some people provided some of the food, but I've kind of got to put it together on Monday and Tuesday. I'm not anxious about it at all because we've been doing it for 10 years, cooking for 175 people. It's really pretty easy because I don't do it by myself. We rely on others. So if you want to have a good meal and you want to help serve a good meal, come on Tuesday at 5 and help us out. Next week, another church in the area that the volunteers are not available right now, they're providing the food, and St. John's is going to serve. So you don't even have to cook. You could show at 5 and help. And then 2 weeks from today, I'm going to be in Biloxi. Two of our meal team are going to be in Biloxi. We're really going to need some people to St. John's to not only cook and serve, but to take care of everything. So there's some opportunities to serve, but don't get worried. I have learned in the community meal ministry since 2011, it will all work out. I just can't always wait till Tuesday at 4 o'clock. It'll all work out. You are worried and upset about many things. She's out of balance. We get out of balance, things happen, worry, upsetness can come in, and we have to focus in on our balance, our faith in Jesus Christ. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, Jesus says. Now I wish Jesus would have said, what is the one thing? He doesn't clearly say that and spell it out in these verses. Why not? He wants us to do our own homework. He wants us to study the scriptures. Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. The one thing, to dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. In Luke 18, verse 22, as a certain ruler who had been keeping the Ten Commandments, as that ruler came to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. The man had great riches. He was earthly wealthy, but he needed one thing. He needed to make God his God and not his wealth. One thing is needed, to devote ourselves to God. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Only one thing is needed to remain in balance. And then Jesus closes by saying, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. To sit at the feet of Jesus, that is Mary's expression of her devotion to the Lord. And her devotion to the Lord implies some things that we can remember and we can emulate. It implies her readiness to accept and obey what Jesus teaches. In order to accept and obey what Jesus teaches, we have to listen to what he's teaching. It implies submission to Jesus. It implies faith in who Jesus is. It implies discipleship. It implies love. From these verses and the aspect of balance, both Martha and Mary are loved by Jesus. Martha and Mary symbolize different personalities, different ways we approach life. Maybe we approach relationship. Maybe we approach faith or service. When I think about this passage and Martha and Mary, I always think about Eric and Mike Meyer. When I go on a mission trip with Mike Meyer, Mike's job is to run the chop saw. And that's the least of his concerns, because he's on the ground running the chop saw because he gets to deal with the homeowner and with the neighbors. I like to be involved in the project. I'm away from the people so I can focus on work, and Mike can take care of the people. Two different ways that I have learned this. Now, I need to still step down and talk to the neighbors and talk, but I also got to work. That's my personality. But Mike, to watch him blossom over the years, over those trips, that he just took on that role, culminating 5 or 6 years ago when someone came up, we're ready to get on the bus to start our trip home. And there was a person that was in need. Mike did not bring that person to me. Mike witnessed to that person himself because he had developed that balance and that devotion, and he was comfortable. After spending, you know, a few years of 3 months at a time down there, he was more comfortable. And I could see that devotion that Mike had with those individuals. Now, I wanted him on that saw more than he was talking, but it all worked out. There were no worries. There was no frustration because I learned from the rooftop to just watch Mike. Now, Mike's not the only one that did that. But both are needed, both personalities, both Martha and Mary, they have value. They're both devoted. It's not one's better than the other. They're just devoted in different ways, and that's who we are. That's how we serve. But both kept their focus on Jesus. Now, I share this as I quickly go over 4 lessons learned from 2020. This is from the Pioneers. So the Pioneers is an organization that we help support. We support the Dorios over near Chicago. They are partnered with the Pioneers. And as a supporting church, we get newsletters from all these mission agencies. I read most of them, and I tuck them into various folders. And this one has been in my sermon folder, obviously, for over a year. But they learned from 2020. And when it comes to slowing down, they relied upon the story of Martha and Mary. Here are positive practices that pioneer missionaries have learned from churches across the country. Slow down. Rest. Seek balance. Is that what you learn in this world? Is that how you work in this world? Doesn't the world tell us busy, busy, busy is better? Do everything, be everything? But the message learned is to slow down. And that happened for a while. But then the pace started getting picked back up. We cannot forget that truth of Martha and Mary, of Mary just slowing down. 1 minute and 5 minute devotions. There's plenty of resources out there. You can get one verse to email, you read it, you say a prayer, you're done in 30 seconds. That's valuable and that's good, but that's not necessarily balancing life in the world from a faith perspective. We need to balance more. So slow down. Number two is be proactive. Serve. Be a Martha. Slow down like Mary, but also serve and be a Martha. Find those places in the church, still looking for about 5 more people on some of our committees, or serve in the community. Now, one of the ways that I serve is I serve in the church as a pastor, but there's countless servants of this church. So I like to serve elsewhere. Some of you know that I serve with Habitat for Humanity. I had a little bit more time in my slowing down, so I took on a new role recently. I am now part of the Zoning Commission of Ridgeville Township. Read about it in the newsletter, and I said, they need people. I have, you know, only 4 meetings a year, but it puts me into relationship with other people, so I serve, and I'm doing the third thing that pioneers suggest, prioritize people. How do I get to know people? I serve alongside them. So now I not only know Andrew Roars, I know his brother, who's the chairperson of the Zoning Commission of Ridgeville Township. And I'm getting to know some of the people in my local area that I've never even seen before. So I serve, but I also prioritize relationship. Now, you might say, Eric, how do you have time for that? Four meetings a year, happens 7 o'clock at night. You know, instead of watching TV, I just go for an hour. And they're really good. They keep it to an hour. I wish I could do that tomorrow night at Spiritual Council and Consistory. Sorry. Slow down. Be proactive and serve. Prioritize people. Have relationship with people. Model Jesus to those people. And then the fourth thing that they have learned through the pioneers is no sacred cows. Now, I imagine if you're 16 or 18 or 24, you have no idea what that means. Do you know what that means? Good. No sacred cows means just because we've always done it that way before, we have to keep doing it. There is nothing that is sacred in the ministry of the church unless it's the preaching of the Word of God and prayer. We're not throwing everything out, but what are those things that are bogging us down, holding us back? What do we need to move on into the future? No sacred cows. In-person worship is the only way people can worship. We're not getting rid of live stream. It has been very interesting just the last three, four weeks, to hear from people that are connecting by live stream, interacting with me on the sermon. Live stream is here to stay. Two of those people were home because they were recovering. One person was home because they were sick. One person was traveling. And they're interacting still with that worship mind in time. So we're going to keep that and hope for in-person worship. It's good. Face-to-face is great, but there are other ways to make it happen. And as consistory and congregation continues to move through, we'll look at some other, quote, sacred cows. Slow down, be proactive and serve, prioritize relationship with people, and no sacred cows. Don't hold on to things just because we've always done it that way before. Be open to the will and the Spirit of God. Amen. There is a sacred cow that we're going to maintain, and that is giving our offerings to the Lord because it's biblical. And it's the aspect of recognizing how God has blessed and how God has provided for us, and that He loves us and cares for us. And He asks us to take this opportunity to share of our tithes, to share of our offerings for the furtherance of His kingdom. So I invite our ushers to come forward and receive our morning offering. Thank you. Lord God, we thank you for the written truth of your holy word. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for the salvation we have through Jesus Christ. And Lord, as your disciples in this modern day time, we give these offerings, we give ourselves so that others can come to know you in a very true and real way for their salvation. And we thank you and praise you in Christ. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 455, Come All Christians Be Committed. Following the spoken benediction, we'll sing the first verse of number 281, The Bond of Love.
Go gladly into the world, be filled with the love of God, move to the ways of the Spirit, and be merciful to all. Amen.